The NFL season is finally here, so make sure you're ready with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. It gives you the most live NFL games all in one place, exactly what you need to make your Sundays more magical. Sign up today at youtube.com/Sunday Ticket. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games.
When it comes to towing, seeing is believing. That's why Chevy Truck's advanced camera technology offers up to 8 available cameras for 14 unique views, so you can focus on the view that really matters. Chevrolet, together let's drive. Learn more about Chevy Trucks at Chevy.com. Safety or driver assistance features are no substitute for the driver's responsibility to operate the vehicle in a safe manner. Read the vehicle owner's manual for important feature limitations and information.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So far, so good.
With guest host Kirk Morrison.
I like it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You get a jersey yet?
I'm not going to get an 8. I don't wear jerseys.
Yeah, maybe for the kids.
Which kids? They don't.
Your kids.
They're Patriots fans. They're not putting on a Jet jersey.
Today's guests: Broncos beat writer for The Athletic, Nick Kosmider; college football editor-in-chief for The Athletic, Stuart Mandel; Commanders beat writer for The Athletic, Ben Standen. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
Hi. Welcome in, Rich Eisen Show. See, it's caught on,
here's
man.
The thing.
It's
caught on. I knew it was coming. It still caught me by surprise.
Yeah.
And I still laughed and I still smiled.
There it is.
It's great to see you.
That's how you know I'm in the building. Hi. As we hear the Rich Eisen Show. Great to be with you guys as always. Hopping in the seat for Rich for a little
bit. What's up,
Kirk?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, TJ. Good to see you, Brock. And Tufo. My guy, Jay Money. And Jason over there in the back. What's up, Jason?
Hey.
Man, see, Jason go back. Me and Jay go back. Like, honestly, like, me and Jason go all the way back. I retired from the National Football League in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2013, there was a network that launched here in Los Angeles. I came in as a rotating analyst, and Jason was there along that journey for me. And that was, what, 11 years ago?
That was a long time ago.
That's a little nostalgia moment right here.
You guys go back like 8 tracks and quarter waters.
8 tracks and VHS cassette tapes.
Man, listen, you go back like Betamax.
I threw some CDs away for the first time. Because, like, what am I doing with them?
God, what are you
What am I doing with them?
I still have a CD player in the whip.
But I'm just saying, like, what am I going to do with them?
Do your kids know what a CD is?
No, they don't. No, let me stop. They do. They actually do, because I do have a DVD player. So they think that the DVD is actually still a CD, too. Because they look the same, right? One plays a movie, one plays the music. Basically, the same thing. But I was going through some stuff in the storage. I'm cleaning out some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you find things. And so I'm looking at all of these DVDs. I got some... My R&B DVD list is amazing,
or
by the
CD,
way.
CD, you mean?
Oh, I mean CD. I'm sorry. CD list. Oh, it was amazing. And I can't think of going back in time and thinking about driving with a 6 CD disc changer in the car.
Dude.
Or being the DJ when you're riding in the passenger seat with your boys.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to pick the right CD to get you through a road trip.
No doubt.
Right? You got to find the right CD, the right mix. And don't put a song on it nobody knows. And you just killed the mood in the ride.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Plucked in the back of the head.
It's a lot, but I had some moments of going through some storage items, and I was just thinking, like, what is this? Like, I can't believe this is what it once was. Now, literally, I mean, I can touch my screen and put, like, songs on. Yeah. It doesn't even matter. And I'm just thinking about how technology, how we've pushed ourselves into this new stratosphere of what could happen, of what could be. I got to tell you about yesterday.
All right.
Yesterday, you know, I'm a big fan of a lot of shows, but there's difficulty when you have multiple family members. You know what I mean? When you have multiple family members and you got to be in two places at one time. Very difficult. Me as a dad, I know. Sometimes you have to make a tough decision. Hey, I've got to go to this game or do this drop off, or you know what, we've got to cancel this. We can't go to that party because we got to go as a family to this party. Yep. There's decisions that have to be made. Yesterday, I didn't have to make that decision. And it felt darn good. Because yesterday, I got a notification on my phone. Boom, Rich Eisen show. So there it is. We'll be on or simulcast with the Pat McAfee show. I said, wait. Am I reading this right? Like, you ever just get something like, am I reading this right? Wait, Pat and Rich, Richard Pat.
Right? Come on. Exactly.
Thank you, Tyreek.
Wait, they on at the same time, though. Like, what are we doing?
Hit it for Kirk. What's it? Jay, hit it for Kirk one time.
Am I reading this right?
Yeah, that's what it was. Am I reading this right? Rich and Pat, what is going on here? And then finally, boom, I click on, and guess what happened? Guess what happened? I had Rich Eisen.
It's happening, baby.
I had Pat McAfee. Two guys who I consider friends of mine. I've had dinner with them. Mm-hmm. I think if you have dinner with somebody, I can consider them a good friend.
Broken bread, for sure.
Yeah. Rich doesn't like French fries, but that's another story. It's all good. But it was for me yesterday watching something that I never thought could happen. Was watching a simulcast of two radio shows, and I just had to stop. And I just sat back and watched as I was in my car after finishing drop off with my kids. I was outside of the cleaners yesterday, by the way. I had to get this nice little shirt from the cleaners. Yeah, fresh out the cleaners. Thank you. Yeah, Amazon's finest. But it was one of those situations where I'm sitting here and I'm watching, and it was almost like you guys were involved in a field trip. It was like that field. You remember field trips back in middle school, yes. Elementary? It's like field trip day where you do the same show every day and it's fun. But yesterday was different. And you can sense it from the way your interaction, your energy. Same with you, Brock. There was a different energy. It was that we're also going to go see our buddies while we're still working.
Yeah.
And to see Pat and to see Rich and the interactions, the laughter, the banter – I got to just give shout outs and kudos to everybody who was involved with that, because it's something that, you can't do it every day. You can't do it every week. You can't do it every couple weeks. But man, you talk about something that can happen. Hey, maybe every couple months. Mm-hmm. Let's just check in with our guys who are going on, because let's just be honest. We all compete. We're competitors in a very competitive business when it comes to radio shows, television shows, or simulcasting, doing them both. And I thought yesterday for the first time, there was no competition. It was friendly fun and say, hey, you've got your stuff. I've got my stuff. But guess what? I'm not necessarily competing with you. I've got my own lane, my own avenue. Rich and Pat proved that yesterday. Because we're so caught up in the rate. I get it. It's ratings, it's numbers, and this and that. But yesterday, I truly had fun seeing Rich dance around questions about Connor Scallions. That was hilarious. That was fantastic. And it was seeing Pat talk about a lot of the things that he talks about, whether it's the new college football, where does Michigan fall in this, or is some of the NFL thing. It was, to me, one of those things that yesterday, and for all our viewers out there, the picture of Pat and Rich right now, that's gold. That's radio and TV gold together, as these guys are really having a good time. I never thought, again, this would be possible. If you told me 15, 20 years ago that two shows on different networks, different platforms at the same time could actually join forces, it was almost like an Avengers moment. Was it not? Was it not like an Avengers moment where it was like, we got to come together to defeat the common good? I don't know who the...
it was great. I don't know who Thanos is.
I don't know who Thanos was. Yeah, I kind of have an idea. I won't say it on air.
A coyote, maybe? Something
like that. Something
like, you know. I liked what you did. You thought it was like the mega powers. It was like when we were kids and Hogan and Macho Man came together to be a tag team.
I put that whole thing on our Instagram story yesterday. Yeah. It was like when the mega powers first shook hands together, brother, and we didn't know what was going to happen. Oh, yeah.
Was that like WrestleMania 5?
WrestleMania 5, they fight each other.
Then they became the mega powers.
WrestleMania 4 was Savage won the title in the tournament. Yeah, WrestleMania 3 was Hogan slamming Andre. We could go back to that. That's at the point. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was
We got word even maybe a few months ago that it was a possibility.
It was a possibility
that we could do it. But then, of course, you know, nothing happened until yesterday. And it was like, wow, this is really cool.
We can also really thank, Michael Rubin.
Michael Rubin,
the Fanatics Fest.
Shout out to Michael Rubin. Still waiting on that invite.
And Adam Schefter.
Adam
Schefter for running slightly faster than Rich at the 40.
And had Schefter not went on.
I was there. It was cool.
Had Schefter not went on McAfee's show and started talking outside of his neck about how he dusted Rich. So, I mean, really, it's Schefter who... Ruben and Schefter, I guess.
What's that? Michigan on Michigan crime?
Yeah, who would have thunk it?
Who would have thought? Michigan on Michigan crime. Yeah. There's the race of Adam Schefter said he beat Rich slightly. See, that's what happens.
Took down the king. He says he's the king of the 40.
He's the king of the 40.
See, look at that. That's beef. Now we got all of these guys
What's beef?
Who are now going to start racing and running. Now, if you're a doctor or a physical therapist, make sure you get these guys on speed dial.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, Shefty, hey, Rich, I don't know. Man, look, these muscles can only last so long. And all of a sudden, you start popping things. That's one of the crazy things. You guys see it. Whenever we go to Super Bowl every year, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys. You guys still pass by the NFL experience? I know I do.
We've done our show in the NFL experience every year at the Super Bowl.
The greatest thing at the NFL experience for people who are going to go next year in New Orleans, go stand by the 40 and watch the older Groma who have not ran a 40-yard dash in maybe 15, 20 years pass out. Not pass out, but like fall out. Like literally fall out. Like I've seen people have to get carried out of the NFL experience because they thought that, oh, I haven't ran competitively or at full speed in maybe 2, 20, 15, how many years? Fall out. So I'm like, oh, okay. This is one of the great things. But circling back, man, I want to thank all the people who are involved in that because I thought it was a great moment to see just the funness of how cool this job could be. Seeing Pat now on his show, I'm filling in for Rich. So Rich had such a great time that he took today off. So I appreciate you, Rich.
He was spent.
It just goes to show like the ever-evolving parts of sports. That's one of the things that I love about not just this job. As I get ready for next week, I'm Colorado State at Texas. I'm going to Austin, Texas next week on ESPN, 3:30 Eastern time for all those people who want to turn on the tube and watch it. But I'll be in Austin. And the thing is, what we've been talking about as my crew is how do we push the envelope? How do we do something different? How do we do more, but yet do less? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
How do we do more but do less?
Work smarter, not harder.
Correct.
Is what you're trying to
say. Well, I say we want to do more, but let's do it better. Do more, but do it better. Because I feel like right now there's so much that you want. I love watching Hard Knocks. I love watching. They're still figuring it out with this. What do we call it now? The Hawkeye in the NFL on when they go out and measure now.
Oh, I don't know what they
is that what it's called? I mean, that Hawkeye is the tennis term.
That's a tennis. I call it the tennis. I'm still using the tennis terminology.
It's basically the same type of technology.
It's basically, the new fourth and one or the measuring. It's the old chain gang, as we for people who like to watch the measurements
laser
on the
chain.
NFL. Laser chain. So I'm bringing that up because we're always pushing the envelope on how can we be better? How can we continue to do things and bring people into our living rooms, into our homes, into our spaces, and give them more of what they want, more access. Trust me, I'm not the biggest Chicago Bears fan at all, but the access that you give to maybe a Hard Knocks is like, I might not have been a fan of the Bears, but I'll watch them now. I'm invested now because of Rome Odunze or watching the backup quarterback, young quarterback Austin Reed, I think that's his name, singing R&B songs.
Singing Keisha Cole.
He did a great job.
He did an amazing job.
He was so good.
But like those moments, like I don't know Austin Reed as much as I should. I feel like, I mean, I watched a game or two when he's at Western Kentucky, but now I'm like, I want to see where this dude goes. Is he going to be a practice squad guy? Do we see him start a football? We've seen crazier things happen. But even Tyson Bagent, like when we give you the access, it now opens up the viewer's mind to do more, to see more. So now I'm able to see a little bit of Rich, tap into it when Rich goes to break, going to tap in a little bit of Pat McAfee and come all the way back, do a little simulcast, man. I don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring because I feel like we're just tipping the iceberg on what more to do because a lot of people saw that yesterday. A lot of people saw. It was like, wait, we can do that? Wait, I didn't know we could do that. And then it was like Zooms and cameras and like I said, it was a big field trip. You guys were involved in it. You didn't have your little shiny shirts on and name tags, but I knew who you were, by the way.
Take that.
Yeah, yeah. I knew who you were. So much to get to. We've got trades in the NFL. Not big time trades, but trades that have been going down. We got that. We got a team that I can't wait to talk about coming up next in a little bit. I feel like nobody's talking about them.
Oh, the Cowboys.
Nobody knows. No, the Cowboys are always at top of mind. But I no one's talking about, I feel like, the other team in that division. And I'm not talking about the Eagles. Yeah, I'm not even talking about the Giants. We've talked enough Giants already. I mean, I feel bad for him. Malik Nabers is, have you ever seen somebody look, I won't say he looks defeated now, but Malik Nabers and watching his interviews, it looks like I'm so happy and thankful I'm in the NFL. But man, oh man, this ain't what I want in terms of what he's got at quarterback right now. But the other team in that division, Washington Commanders, interesting. Now, they made a move today. We'll talk a lot about that move. We'll talk about the move that they made in naming Jaden Daniels the starting quarterback. So a lot to get here on the Rich Eisen Show. Stuart Mandel in the second hour already. Ben Standy, we're going to be talking Commanders in the final hour. Coming up next, I got to start first. Broncos. I don't want to get past the Broncos. Mm. I got to start here. The Broncos. See, I'm already getting ahead of myself. I'm talking about Washington. I got to start with Denver first. Nick Kosmider from The Athletic. He's going to join us next. Talking about the Broncos, Bo Nix, a lot to get to right here. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash, that's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Seattle is hosting New Orleans in a playoff game. Correct. Up in Seattle.
And we played them earlier.
Played them early.
And so the first thing in the morning when I get up is I have a waffle, you know, the whipped cream, strawberries, and I'm flipping through the networks trying to get either ESPN or NFL Network. Who's going to give me the forecast? There's NFL Network. I got it. I'm eating my waffle, and they pan down on Russell Wilson and Drew Brees throwing a football on the field in their grays. I'm going to tell you where I'm supposed to be at that moment when they're throwing a football. I am supposed to be meeting with the officials, discussing the inactives, all right, and getting ready to say the Lord's Prayer and give our players a pep talk. That's where I'm supposed to be. And I run to the shower, call my assistant, can't get him. The waffle is spilled on the floor. I get back. My assistant says, hey, what's up? And I said, when did the buses leave? No one called. He said, Coach, the buses haven't left yet. They had taken B-roll from the Monday night game.
Someone in the tape room ran the wrong tape.
Can you imagine? I text Falk. He's on set with Rich. I said, what are you guys doing? I had a cow. Like, I'm telling you, you have no idea. We're talking about being like, this is the divisional playoff game, not being there for the kickoff as the head coach. That's how late I was.
And Sean, just Marshall showing me the text. We went back and forth.
I arrived. This guy now is live on the field, and I peek out at the stadium only because of the conditions, and I take a look, and Rich says, good to have Sean Payton here at the stadium on time. Just some sly comment that not one person's going to understand until we tell this story.
Amazing.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. So I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, which is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Oh, man. So much to get to. But, you know, this week some news came down that Denver Broncos, they got a new starting quarterback. I'm pretty excited about that. And joining us now, Nick Kosmider. He's the Broncos beat writer for The Athletic. And Nick, kind of take me through this process, because before training camp started, this was the competition. This was Jarrett Stidham. This was Zach Wilson. And here's Bo Nix, the first round draft choice. Are we surprised at this? What were the, I guess, milestones that he hit in order to get this job?
Yeah, that's a great way to frame it, Kirk. I mean, this did start as a competition, but I think the biggest question was always just, will Bo Nix be ready? I think that was, it was more about that than it really was whether Jarrett Stidham or Zach Wilson, you know, could really vie for that spot, because again, they drafted him 12th overall. He's the future of the position. And early on, you know, first couple weeks of camp, I think Jarrett Stidham was probably the most consistent guy. He's the only one with a second year in the system under his belt. So he had that experience factor working for him. But over the last 2+ weeks, including both preseason games, it just became clear that something clicked for Bo Nix. This is a guy who at every level that he's ever played at has been an early starter. He started varsity football as an eighth grader. He was a true freshman starting quarterback at Auburn, and now a week one starter for the Broncos. It just clicked for him, and the performances in the preseason games the last 2 weeks really illustrated how much things had started to become a lot more comfortable and allowed his talent to kind of to show out.
You know, Nick, I love what you said about this. It turned from a competition to a coronation. Explain that. Like, what did you see from him? How did he take this job in front of basically fans in a couple preseason games that I was like, wait, this isn't a competition anymore. This dude is already the guy.
Yeah, I think ever since that game in Indianapolis on August 11th, when he went out there, Jarrett Stidham played the first two drives. Nix then came out and on his first kind of big pass, 3rd and 10, his first two had been incomplete. He rolls out and finds Cortland Sutton on the sideline for a 22-yard gain. And from there, it was just the efficiency, Kirk, that stood out. He led 7 drives in the preseason. 6 of those led to scores, 3 touchdowns, 3 field goals. The only drive that didn't lead to a score was when he completed a pass to his tight end, Lucas Kroll, who then fumbled the ball, ending the drive after 1 play. Essentially, every time he's had the ball with a real drive, he's led them to scores, and all those drives started on Denver's own side of the on the field. So it was just the ability to take over and to guide that offense. You just said, okay, yeah, this is a guy who, again, started 61 college games. He's been playing. People know Bo Nix. He's been playing football forever. And there was the early adjustment. I think some of the speed, and that will continue to occur. He's not played really top string defenses at this point. Hasn't faced any of the NFL's real premier pass rushers. There's going to be some of those challenges, and there will have to be kind of a readjustment. But it was just clear then, and has only continued to grow over the last couple of weeks, that it was a matter of when, not if, he was going to be announced as a starter.
Broncos beat writer for The Athletic, Nick Kosmider, joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. Nick, I want to sort of take a look at the Broncos organization as a whole right quick, because Russell Wilson came there and he was coming to save the Denver Broncos. After 2 years, he's now gone. And now they've got a new starting quarterback in Bo Nix. What's the fan base? What's the organization? What's the now feel like? Are they still thinking about Russ and the $85 million that they owe him? Or is it now people are starting to see this new vision in Sean Payton and George Payton and general manager?
Yeah, it's a great question. This is an organization that has been searching for an answer, a permanent answer at quarterback since Peyton Manning retired. Mm-hmm. This is going to be, Bo Nix will become the seventh different week one starter for the Broncos in the last 9 seasons. They have cycled through quarterbacks. You could go down the list, Trevor Siemian, Joe Flacco, Case Keenum, Drew Locke, Teddy Bridgewater, Brett Rippett. I mean, the list goes
Paxton
on
Lynch.
And on. Paxton Lynch. They had a game in 2020 in which they didn't have a quarterback, and their game got started by Philip Lindsay.
Hold on, what's my man name? Was it Hinton? Who was the
Kendall Hinton?
Kendall Hinton. There we go.
Yeah,
Hinton. Then they tell him like the night before, like in the hotel, like, "Hey son,
you're starting.
Due to this COVID situation thing, hey man, you're starting." He was like, "I ain't played quarterback since high school. What are we doing?"
his agent. I talked to Kendall Hinton's agent that night, and he thought when Kendall called him, he was going to tell him, "Hey, I'm getting elevated for this game," because he was a wide receiver at the time.
Right.
"I'm getting elevated for this game. Maybe he's going to get to play on special teams." And then, you know, and then Kendall, you know, says, "Yeah, I'm calling you, but it's not because of what you think." So that's part of the lore of this, you know, this just kind of cycle in which they have not been able to figure that position out. And as you well know, when you don't have that position figured out in the NFL, you have very little chance to create consistent culture, consistent success. And so I think this fan base, it's the first round pick that they've drafted since Paxton Lynch, who obviously just wasn't cut out for the NFL. Mm-hmm. And Nix, it feels different. I think fans, there was a wait and see, component to this in terms of, you know, what's he going to look like and all those sorts of things. But over the last 2 weeks, especially Sunday when he was near perfect in his performance against the Packers, you know, the Bo show is now in full effect in Denver. Like, people are ready to get behind this, especially, you know, Sean Payton knowing that this is the quarterback that he wanted, that he now has a chance to implement his system with. There's a lot of optimism, even if there's some reality that this is still going to take some time.
Right.
They still have a lot of work to do with this roster. I think there's excitement that there seems to be kind of a clear vision that hasn't always been around ever since Peyton Manning retired.
You know, Nick, I don't think it's a disrespect to tell Sean Payton, the Broncos, they realize it, that still the best team in that division is the Kansas City Chiefs, the back-to-back Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs are going for a three-peat this year. So that being said, you have the Chiefs who are at the top, and then it's like these three other teams, Raiders, then you got Broncos, Chargers, and it's like, okay, who's playing for second? Like, who's going to get to second place? I just say that because what's the real life expectations now with Bo Nix starting at quarterback? Does this put them in a situation where they feel like, hey, we're getting closer to the Chiefs to be the second best team in this division? Or is a situation like, okay, it's still wait and see. We've got our guy, but we still want to see him improve or develop in that starting spot?
I think internally they believe that they could be better than they were a year ago.
Right.
Denver went 8-9 mm-hmm. last year. And if you'll remember, they started 1-5. So they really put themselves in sort of a very untenable situation in terms of trying to chase the playoffs, and yet still got themselves into position in early December where they had a chance. And I think they believe a couple things. One, that they're going to be a Knicks is going to be, while he still doesn't have the experience that Russell Wilson did, hasn't learned the league to the degree that Russell Wilson did, they believe they're going to be better in situational football than they were a year ago. Big reason why: Russell Wilson, during his two seasons in Denver, took 100 sacks. Bo Nix, that's one of his strengths. He got sacked only 5 times at Oregon a season ago. His senior year in high school, didn't get sacked once. That's just part of his DNA as a quarterback. And they believe that that will allow them to avoid a lot of the negative situations that kept them from creating offensive momentum. And then situationally, they were one of the worst teams in the short red zone area last year. They've shown a lot of proficiency in that so far in training camp and in the preseason. And then on the defensive side of the football, their real Achilles heel was that they could not stop the run last year. Last in the league, gave up 5 yards per carry. They go out, they trade for John Franklin Myers from the Jets. They sign Malcolm Roach, kind of a specialist run stopper from the New Orleans Saints, and believe that they are a lot more fortified up front, will allow them to, stop the run a little more effectively and then can build from there. So internally, those are the components where they say, hey, we have some new players. We got rid of a lot of veterans, Russell Wilson, Justin Simmons, Jerry Jeudy, Lloyd Cushenberry, the center, all gone. But they believe in Bo Nix. They believe in this draft class that they just added. And when you put all that together, there's a lot of internal optimism that there's no reason we can't be better than we were a year ago.
He's Nick Kosmider, the Broncos beat writer for The Athletic, joined the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. Look, I get so excited. I'm already getting tongue-tied because I got so many questions for you, Nick, because here's another one. Because I wake up this morning and boom, the first thing, I get these breaking news, like notifications, and you're like, okay, what is it? And it says A.J. Terrell, cornerback for the Atlanta Falcons, gets a new contract. 4 years, $81 million, a pack that includes $65.8 million. He's the second highest paid cornerback in the NFL or in NFL history. So immediately you're like, great for A.J. Terrell. That's awesome. But then I'm like, man, what is Patrick Surtain Jr. going to get? Because if A.J. Terrell getting that, ooh, boy, what will Patrick get? And does the contract of Russell Wilson and what they're paying him out over the next 2 years, does that hinder what the Broncos may do? How quickly do they get this done? Because like we've been saying on this show, Nick, yesterday's price will not be today's price when it comes to Patrick Surtain Jr.
Yeah, you weren't the only one intrigued by that alert this morning. Every time a quarterback gets paid, Pat Surtain is saying, all right, here we go. I mean, yep. I think he will ultimately become the highest paid corner in the league. This guy is a guy entering his fourth season who is already a two-time Pro Bowler, has already been a unanimous first-team All-Pro, was an All-Rookie. I mean, he's just done everything possible that you could in his 3 seasons in the NFL. So it is a matter of when and not if he becomes that kind of guy. And I do believe that will be with the Broncos. In terms of the dead money, you mentioned it. The Broncos, when they cut Russell Wilson in March, ate $85 million in dead money. But what they did was they took the larger chunk, that there was some options in the contract that allowed them to kind of choose the path to eating that money. They took $53 million of that dead money this year. Okay. And that was why you saw guys like Justin Simmons get released, why they didn't go after free agents like Lloyd Cushenberry and Josie Jewell, the linebacker, save some money by trading Jerry Jeudy. Those things were kind of addressing where that cap situation was this year. Next year, what helps so much for the Broncos is they're going to have a rookie starter in Bo Nix. So really, even though they're going to still be on the hook for $32 million in dead money next year, when you have a rookie scale quarterback, you still end up with one of the, average paid quarterback room overall. So it's not going to affect them really after this season. After this season, that they've already had, they kind of had to take their medicine this year. I think beyond that, they will already more or less be out from under that dead money hit, and certainly won't affect anything that they do long term with some of their key players. They already signed Quinn Meinerz, for example, the right guard, one of the rising young players at that position in the league, to a four year $80 million contract. So Pat Surtain is next. I don't think it will be long. They've already picked up his 5th-year option. That gives them a little bit more time to get it done. But it's a formality.
It only gives them a little more time to do nothing. They still got to write that check. The sooner, the better when it comes to Patrick Surtain Jr. Just a couple more minutes here with Nick Kosmider joining us. He's the Broncos beat writer for The Athletics. Sean Payton, year 2 now.
what do we expect from him, or how has he been around the building? I think a lot of expectations last year, he was supposed to change Russ, and the Broncos, they got the head coach that they finally needed. No Russ there this year. So how has training camp been? How is this new Sean Payton in year two?
Yeah, you know, it's another great question. I think people, national reporters who have come in, who have a relationship with Sean, people like my own colleague, Diana Russini, Kay Adams, who's known him for a long time, who have like cycled through during their training camp tours and spent time with Sean Payton, have remarked that, you know, he seems as kind of loose and energized as he has, you know, really in a long time. And I think part of that is he's really excited to work with Bo Nix. It starts there. This is a guy who has been told all offseason, hey, you've never worked with a rookie quarterback, right? Well, yeah, that's a box he hadn't been able to check, and I think was really eager to dive into that whole process. And the fact that Nix has been a really sort of the marriage there in terms of Bo Nix is a guy who loves the game planning aspect of football. He grew up as the son of a head coach. His dad, of course, was a quarterback at Auburn. He really relishes that part of it. And so there's a real kinship, I think, between the two of them in that mode. And so Sean Payton is really deriving, I think, a lot of energy from that. And then overall, they have a younger team than he typically has had over the last few years. And that has allowed him to really kind of set the culture that he wants to more than he was a year ago. It's a lot more of, you know, quote unquote, his guys that are in the building now. And I think that's been re-energizing, and what that will ultimately mean for where they go this year remains to be seen. But the training camp had a different vibe to it this year ago. It was a lot more, you know, he still runs a tough camp. You know, they run gassers after practice. They, you know, they're thudding. There's guys playing in the preseason on all those sorts of things. But I think the general vibe of it was a lot more energy to it this year.
Yeah, that was my last question for you, by the way. They don't play till Sunday, the final day of preseason, week number three. Nobody's playing. I mean, who's playing? Was Bo Nix puts the hat on and shows off everybody his new I don't even know who's a new sponsor for the NFL when it comes to the hats, because he'll be wearing one on Sunday possibly. But what's now the plan or the action going forward as they prepare for week one?
So there's still some intrigue at the quarterback spot for the Broncos, because
there you go.
Who's the backup? Are they keeping all three of their guys? Sean Payton has raved over the last 2 weeks about Zach Wilson's growth in their system. And we've seen it at practice. He's loose, and his arm talent is obviously unique. I mean, he can throw some of the stuff you'll see in training camp. You're just like, oh yeah, that's why he was the number two overall pick in the NFL draft a few years ago, because he can deliver, you know, 70-yard throws with the flick of his wrist like not many people at that position can. And he's also, I think, gained comfort. They rave about Davis Webb, the quarterback's coach. All three of these quarterbacks do. And I think he has really kind of helped Zach Wilson come in, put a lot of that stuff that went on in New York behind him, and just kind of have a fresh start. And he's played like a guy that's a lot more loose just in terms of how he's enjoying the game. And so I think it's going to be really interesting to see how much he plays and what the Broncos ultimately decide to do with both he and Jarrett Stidham. It's possible they keep all three on the roster. But if Zach Wilson goes out there and has a big performance, is there a team out there that's saying, hey, like let's bolster our room and try to see if Denver will make a trade? I think all those things are something to watch as we come to Tuesday's cuts.
He's Nick Kosmider, the Broncos beat writer for The Athletic, joining the Rich Eisen Show. Nick, man, I appreciate the time. A lot of knowledge there for us that I can kind of digest as we get ready for week one of the regular season, and Bo Nix, the starting quarterback for hopefully to be the second place AFC West Broncos. Appreciate the time, Nick.
Thanks a lot, Kirk. Appreciate it.
Oh man, appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest real quick, man. That division, I'll present the question this way.
Chiefs and everybody else.
Chiefs first the field. We're taking Chiefs. Let's just be honest. Let's be real. Chiefs first the field. And that's great. And look, some things can happen. It could go haywire, but we would be shocked if anybody outside of the Chiefs won that division. But that being said, of the field right now, currently, of the field, and I'm talking about the Las Vegas Raiders, the Los Angeles Chargers with pictures of, I love how social media people do this. Social media people of the Chargers, what they do, show a video of pat and go or one-on-ones of Justin Herbert throwing a touchdown to Quentin Johnson, and he caught it, by the way. Right? It's just like, well, come on, man. Let's see him do it in the game. Not Justin Herbert, but Quentin Johnson. Like, come on. Yeah. He was playing in the fourth quarter, the first round pick playing in the fourth quarter. in a preseason game, number two. Hey, man.
He needs reps.
Yeah. And then Denver Broncos. Right now, if I told you feet to the fire, who's the second best team in the AFC West?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier in the week, Kirk with Rich. He was throwing it out there. You know, can they get a second playoff team? Who's more likely of the three to get 10 games? Ooh. 10-7 makes the playoffs in the AFC this year.
Yeah.
The highly competitive AFC with Joe Burrow and Aaron Rodgers back. And we think the Chargers are going to be elevated. Who can get that second playoff team in the West? I don't know. Why not Denver? I think Bo Nix looks awesome. If you think Justin Herbert is going to have some lingering effects to the plantar fascia, that's a weird injury. That could pop up at any given time. Do you love their weapons on offense? Not really. Not sexy, but they're not going to be a sexy team. Yeah.
You're not a Ladd McConkey fan?
With Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh. They're going to run the ball.
Ladd McConkey's not doing it
they're
for
gonna
you?
They're going to be bottom five in pass attempts this year. They're going to be top five in rush attempts.
Right.
Is that enough to get it done? Do you love what the Raiders are doing? Not sexy as well. Why can't Denver sneak in there and get 9-10 wins and get a playoff berth?
I like that. I like that. Same with you, TJ?
Nah, you know what? If you cut to Jason Feller right now and you he's
ready. Show him.
Stand up a little, Jay. Shut up a little, Jay.
Let him see that.
Minshew,
the Minshew mania has arrived. Minshew, baby.
I don't know why,
and
brother.
Silver and black.
I don't know why. Maybe it's, you know, I'm rooting for. Because as a Cowboy fan, we talk about fan bases and who like those don't like. I've never had beef with the Raiders. The Cowboys and Raiders.
Why would you have beef with the Raiders?
We've never met in a Super Bowl 80 years ago or anything, so I don't really have anything against the Raiders. But look, the defense with Crosby, Christian Wilkins, you know,
nasty.
They kind of adapt the personality of that coach. That's what they say teams tend to do, right?
PG.
So I don't know, man. I just maybe Minshew can pull a little rabbit out of the hat and make something happen. Look, you've got Devontae Adams, right?
Right.
He's as good as they come. Zamir White. Low key might be on my fantasy team.
Low key, he gonna get some carries. I tell you that.
Why not the Las Vegas Raiders, man?
I like that. I like that. But the thing is, you've kind of seen how these teams, and I'm talking about these AFC West teams, have kind of put the teams together, have put themselves together by what they've done in the preseason. But there's a team right now that will not have an important piece for the entire preseason. All the games in the preseason, an important piece will not participate. And yet we are expected for this team to take a leap, to take a jump. Man, we're going to talk about that next. How important the preseason is and why this dude just put him in there. We want to see him. Is it good? Is it bad? We'll talk next about that. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show.
Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's $1 billion billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
When I said I wanted to bring a guest on, I'm like, well, I want to bring on who I wanted to be when I was a kid. And that was an offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I've been fortunate enough to get to know Mitchell and know what a good guy he is and what a great player he is. So I wanted to share this moment with the right tackle for the Chiefs, my favorite football team. Not that I need to tell anybody that.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I got to know him, I guess, at the end of last year, and we hit it off right away. We both like food. We have a lot of shared interests. He asked me where I got my meat, and we go to the same meat guy.
He goes to the same butcher here in Kansas City. I said, serious question, though, Mitch, where do you buy your meat in Kansas City? He's like, oh, this place called Bicklemeyer's. And I'm like, okay, you're in. You're good.
So, because I know how seriously you take your Kansas City food.
Yeah.
You guys go to the same butcher here.
We do, yeah.
In the city.
Yeah. Which so, is... I mean, when I got here, I like to cook. I was confined to an apartment in my previous life. When I got here, I got a house, got a whole backyard set up. I mean, this guy's got the greatest backyard setup you could ever imagine for cooking. And he's sending me videos all the time, different stuff to try. And
The text exchange between me and him and some of his other offensive linemen that are into smoking is hilarious. Like, one night I put a brisket on, and it was like we were kind of coordinating with the time difference of putting a brisket on around the same time. And I woke up to check my brisket and texted Mitch at 4 in the morning LA time, which was Kansas City 6 a.m. time. And I told Lindsay, my girlfriend, I'm like, I texted Mitchell Schwartz in the middle of the night about a brisket. Like, what
and
is
I
going
responded.
On?
And he responded. For no reason, I was up at that exact time. And we were, because I was doing a brisket the next night. So we kind of throw ideas off each other, see what we do. I think he was doing like a 24-hour,
oh, yeah,
super slow, got all jiggly and gooey, and the bark was perfect.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Oh man, excited just because it's almost my Friday. I'm a week away from college football. Well, actually, college football start on Saturday.
Yes.
Week zero. I've done a week zero game. It's week zero.
You're not going to Ireland?
I'm not going to Ireland. I am not in Ireland. I'm just happy that football. So
back, baby. We
you know,
made it.
It's always that time of year where you get the text or you get the picture, you see the meme. That starting this Saturday or this weekend, there will be organized professional or collegiate football all the way through President's Weekend.
Oh. Jay, hit that T-bone noise.
Oh, please. Oh. I need that, man. I need it right now. Thank you. Thank you. I need that. Trust me. Because you never know how much you miss it until it's not there. Because we always say, like, oh, it's just football. It's crazy.
It's a long six months.
I mean,
I know
time.
We love all sports.
Yes.
There's so much happening throughout, you know, from mid to late February all the way until mid-August.
Correct.
But there's nothing like football.
Nothing like it.
It is a long 6 months. Love baseball.
Yeah.
Love golf. Love the playoffs, hockey, basketball, March Madness, what have you. It ain't football.
Now we
man.
Can start analyzing games.
It ain't
man.
Football, man.
I just want to start analyzing games. That's what I want to do.
You know what I mean, TJ? The gambling hits different during football season. Yes. You feel me?
I've been trying to tell him,
you
Kirk,
feel me?
There are 800 numbers that he can call for help. You know what I mean?
It does. Just have a couple coins here and there on a
come
game.
On.
It works
come
here.
On.
Let's
tease
go to
it. Tease it.
I want to go to Iowa real quick. Let's go to Terzo. I know Terzo's on the line.
Terzo,
right. Welcome into the Rich Eisen Show. What's all going right. on, my man?
Well, what's up, Kirk? I think the last time I talked to you was about this time last year.
Yeah.
I think I made a bold prediction about a non-quarterback winning the MVP. I thought I was kind of close with that prediction last year with CMC. But always it's a quarterback-driven league, and I'm just like you guys, excited for football.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. What you got for us? Are you an Iowa fan or just a Niner fan? What we got?
No, so I grew up in Colorado and went to CSU, so go Rams.
Okay, I got the Rams next week. Jay Norville and the Rams going into Austin, Texas. Take on the Longhorns.
Let's go.
Okay.
And so, just being a transplant here in Iowa, I've always kind of gravitated a little bit more towards Iowa State just because it kind of reminded me of Colorado State.
Cyclones.
Especially the way they tailgate out in the middle of the field and stuff. So that's that was always kind of nostalgic for me.
Okay.
But I do got a question for you guys, especially with football right around the corner.
What do we got?
It's been kind of a debate whether or not, with football coming around, if Caitlin Clark can continue her momentum with, especially, college football being so big in Iowa and the Midwest, if she's going to be able to continue to still drive those numbers. And some people say they'd still watch her over college football, and I'm kind of curious to see what your guys' thoughts on that are.
All about windows. Her window has to be Tuesday and Wednesday. Let's just be honest. Monday night, it's the Monday Night Football. She got about 2 weeks before that happens. I would say the window has to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and I think you can squeak in a Friday night. Friday night early on, because there's some games on Friday nights.
There's some college football now on Friday night.
Yeah,
Fox has Friday night football.
Yeah,
yeah.
Don't forget how big high school football is. In some parts of the country too.
Yeah, exactly. High school football started about like a month ago. I'm like, what's going on? But I think she can still hold the market. But it just has to be days of the week, because now, to your point, TJ, like. The gambling hits a little different. Like, people's viewing pleasures now go to something that you do know. Like, I don't know baseball. I mean, I know baseball, but I don't know, like, the ins and outs.
You got to be a real sicko to bet baseball every day.
Yeah, I remember I used to do, like, score, no score in the innings. That's how rabbit hole I went down.
No runs first inning. That's very popular.
No runs, very popular one,
no
yes.
No runs first inning.
That's how deep I was.
Brockman should call,
yes, I know.
Apparently.
I was deep in those.
I'm a big over guy when it comes to baseball. I love betting overs on baseball.
And here's the thing with Caitlin Clark, too. If she's having a deep playoff run, people will watch. But that's something that will break through.
Tough, but it's like,
but if they've got a deep playoff run, just don't put those games on Saturday night or Sunday.
I'm just saying LSU, UNLV.
Have those on Friday.
LSU, USC, and in Vegas where UNLV plays at. That's on a Sunday night. Okay. Labor Day weekend. And I got to choose between Caitlin Clark and seeing this little feud going on, by the way, between Lane Kiffin and what's the coach of LSU now? I can't draw a blank. Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly. There it is. I was like Chip Kelly, not Chip, but Brian. One of the Kellys. Not related, by the way. But it's like this little Brian Kelly and Lane Kiffin little beef going on. Like, it's stuff like, now I'm focusing on football. It's gonna be hard for me to kind of go back and forth. So. Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. Man, appreciate the phone call, Turzo.
Appreciate you guys.
Be good, all right, man. All right, Turzo. Robert Saleh had a little something to say about his quarterback, because everybody wants to see his quarterback.
Yeah.
We only see him in practice. I want to see him in a game. Well, it was announced that we won't see Aaron Rodgers in a preseason game. We'll see him week one, Monday Night Football, against the San Francisco 49ers. But I want you to hear what Robert Saleh says he's seen from his quarterback in practice.
His mobility. Because his arm, like you saw in OTAs with all the 7-on-7 stuff, he's throwing the ball, but he's doing it from a pocket. And it wasn't like we were running any boots or anything like that during OTAs. But his mobility is plenty.
I'm just ready for Aaron Rodgers to take the field and hopefully play a full game. I mean, the meme, the GIFs, the videos of Aaron Rodgers over the last year, I'm just done with them. I mean, how many times have we seen, like, oh, that dude's career lasted as long as this? And they show Aaron Rodgers holding the American flag, running out of the tunnel, and then, like, it was over. Like, the season was over. Literally, Monday Night Football, how excited we were. And then four plays into it, it was done. I want to see Aaron Rodgers get through a game. I want to see him go out there and play the way that we expected. A lot of people do. he's kind of the last of a dying breed. He's in that era. And for me, he is actually my last link to the National Football League, by the way. A lot of people don't understand that. I'm not officially retired from the NFL. You're only officially retired when the last person in your draft class is retired.
Really?
I'm part of 2005.
He's
my last guy. I need Aaron to go out and play. I feel like I'm still in touch with today's NFL. Obviously, I go to camps. I know I've trained a lot of the young players who are in the league. I mentored a couple as well. But Aaron Rodgers is my last draft classmate of 2005 in the National Football League. Still need you to keep going. So I can't wait to see him. I would love to see him in the preseason. But I guess I got to wait till Monday Night Football, see him against the 49ers, which some people say, is it an upset if the Jets beat the Niners in week one?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that an upset?
Oh, for sure.
So. I'm saying don't call it an upset. Don't even call it a comeback. Jets week one.
All right, Kirk, how well do you know the 2025 NFL draft? Who was AP Offensive Rookie of the Year that year?
Wait, say 2005?
You mean 2005.
Your draft class, yeah, 2005.
You said 2025.
Okay, 2005. The AP Rookie of the Year was Cadillac.
Cadillac Williams.
Who's the running backs coach for your Las Vegas Raiders, by the way.
Yes.
Running backs coach.
Okay. How about Offensive Player of the Year? Oh, wait, go Defensive Rookie of the Year. Go Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Odell Thurman.
No.
Was it linebacker?
Lights out.
Oh, it was lights out.
Lights out. Sean Merriman.
Sean Merriman, yes. Oh, my God. He finished with a flurry that year, by the way.
He was awesome.
Those two, it was like Sean Merriman, Odell Thurman. Did I tell you my Sean Merriman story,
by the way? Sean Merriman had 10 sacks that year.
So, quick story of Sean Merriman. I went to San Diego State. So, I'm actually in San Diego. I go in for a visit. So I'm visiting the Chargers facility. I'm walking through and everything. Sit down with Wade Phillips. Hey, Wade Phillips tells me everything. Hey, you know, we've got some needs. We like you as a player. If you're there for us on our board, man, trust me, we would love to have you. And I say, oh, okay, cool. He's like, yeah, but that guy over there, man, he may be, you know, our first round pick. I was like, what guy? He's like, the guy over there. I said, who is that? He's like, that's Sean Merriman. I said, I thought that was a 10-year veteran. This dude was walking around as a rookie. I'm like, this is a first-round pick? I knew the difference between a first-round pick and a third-round pick.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
A 2023 last place team will win a playoff game this year.
I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals to be that team. If you gave me
safe bet.
If you said two last place teams, I might say that's an overreaction. Come react or overreact with us. This one makes it much easier. Very so fun. Thank you for making it easier.
Well, tune in next week.
Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.